Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. For you alone are worthy. You are holy, Lord, you are holy. You are holy, Lord, you are holy. What a privilege and honor. Hallelujah. Ooh. Come on, sing this with me. You are holy. You are holy. You are holy. Come on, somebody praise today. You are holy. Lord, you are holy. What a privilege and honor to worship at your throne, to be called into your presence as your own.
Be
holy.
So
I mean, he can testify that he's worthy.
So
I know he that he's faithful. There is no one, no one. There is no one, no one, no one, no one. Worthy, you are faithful, you are worthy, you are worthy. There is no one, no one. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come before your courts with praise. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to come and die of self and let you increase willingly in our spirit, Heavenly Father God. We decree today, Lord, that today will not be like yesterday. We decree today, Lord, that we will leave this place different than we came. Lord, we pray in agreement right now that anything that is not in line with your will, anything that is not pleasing in your eyesight, anything that is not glorifying you, Lord, Heavenly Father God, we say remove that out of this broadcast. Remove that out of our lives. Remove that out of our families. Remove that out of every situation in our lives, Heavenly Father God, right now. Lord, we pray today, Lord, that we die. Lord, we pray to decrease. Lord, we want to go back into the mud and the dirt form, Heavenly Father God. We want to lay down before you, and we want to receive today the fresh breath of life. And, Lord, we receive it now with the honor and with the glory that comes with you. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that any sickness, any disease, that it be healed right now immediately. We pray also, Heavenly Father God, that any situation that is just seeming too hard to bear, that we allow ourselves to give it to you in prayer. We pray today, Lord, that we cast all our cares, all our worries, all our thoughts, all our situations, all our circumstances, all the stuff that just don't look like it's right, we cast it all on you right now. And, Lord, we say that we will give you more of what you want from us. We decree today, Lord, that it is less of us and more of you. Less of us and more of you. Not just because of who you are, but because you're holy. Not just because of who you are, but because you're worthy. Not just because of who you are, but because you are faithful. So, Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord. We come with an expectant spirit today, Heavenly Father God, that we can complete the principle of going through in excellence, that all the notes that we've taken and all the word that has been shared, that it will come together and it will gel and it will confirm that we can do this thing, that we can live a holy and acceptable life that is pleasing unto you, not us. So, Lord, we pray today, not our will. We say that one more time, Heavenly Father God, not our will. Come on, family, decree that with me today, that we want to eliminate anything that is not his will. So, Lord, your will be done. Your will be done. Your will be done on earth as it already is finished and done and completed in heaven. And we receive that today. And we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, Lord Jesus, and all in agreement. While you're in your worship, come on, don't come out yet, just stay in your worship. While you're in your worship, while this word, while this spirit is flowing in unison, just stay in your worship. Come on, just give him a wave wave your hand, clap your hand, stomp your feet. Do something that initiates your faith today that you will worship him in spirit and in truth. We glorify you. We thank you and praise you. Amen, 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 amen. Well, hello, family. It's another Provoke Fridays. Welcome. I'm excited, and I hope you are too. I'm excited that, first of all, we're here together on one accord, but I'm excited that we could get together again and explore the uncompromisable Word of God, that we can also develop principles in our lives that will give us a starting point and an ending point, but not just the end any kind of way, but that will give us success and victory when we go through our circumstances complete. Come on, say that word with me today, complete. And family, as we come together, I want to encourage you that one of the biggest problems we have in being able to accomplish our goals is that we will not follow instructions. Well, I pray that out for you today. If that happens to be you, and I know we may have some, and I know you guys may be tired of hearing this, but I know we may have some perfect Christians on the line. But for those of us that are dealing with daily trials and tribulations, and it's not that, that we find out that, that, yes, we can be perfect, but this flesh will always be in sin. And our spirit man can lift higher. It can go higher. It can follow the principles that we can win the war between subconscious and the conscious mind, that we can become victorious and become sinless. That didn't say it would take away the temptation, but we can accomplish. It is possible to achieve. It is available for us to succeed in living a holy and acceptable life that's pleasing not to us, but pleasing unto God. Now, we talked last week about going through with not just any kind of going through. We go through stuff every day. But when you go through with purpose, that means you have a systematic plan that will lead you through, that will give you the strength, that will confirm the word, and that will carry you on the flow of the anointing. Then we can operate in our anointing that destroys the yoke and bears the burdens. Because we can flow on the anointing, and we can go through with a smile on our face, because it's not so much that you have to go through. It's not even so much that you're going through. The biggest purpose of it is that how you go through. Do you go through murmuring and complaining? Well, you'll come out the same way, murmuring and complaining. If you go in sad and depressed, you may not come out. But if you do come out, you'll come out more sad and depressed. And we discovered this last week, that when you will not face your circumstances and your situations head on, and you decide to go around them or to circumvent or to find an easy way out, I don't care how you look at it, you will end up right back where you started from. Yes, you had good intentions. Yes, you prayed before you started off, but you didn't go through and follow instructions. That's me. I had that a lot in my life. I just didn't follow instructions. I had the word. It was strong in my life. I had the principles. They were very evident to me. But I didn't follow instructions because, you know, I had this you can't tell me nothing spirit. And that is a spirit that thrives in the church, especially in leadership, that, you know, you can't tell me nothing. I know I read the Bible too. And you can't. How can you tell me something? I'm a man of God, too. Well, I'm here to tell you, I don't want to bust your bubble, but I'm going to let you know that you will always be able to achieve more knowledge. You'll never know everything. There is someone out there that knows more than you. There is someone that God will put in your life that will have the things necessary for you to learn. But without the spirit of humility, we still will not get the things of God because we know everything. I got it together. I know what I'm doing wrong. No, God has put us here that we can continually grow, that we can continually reach higher, higher, higher achievements in God. We do not have to stay the same every day. You don't just get saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Spirit, and you sit dormant waiting on judgment day to come, and hopefully you may make it through. No, it is a constant war between subconscious and conscious mind. We learned that in the brain. But then we also learned that in the Bible, it tells us that we must what? Take up your cross daily in Luke 9:23. So if I have to look at that word and it tells me that I have to do something daily, That lets me know that the battle is not over. The fight is not won. That this is something that we must continue to practice, to practice, to practice, and to perfect. But believe me, nothing will get perfected in one try. It takes repetition. And here's that principle of changing a bad habit into a good habit. Repo, repetition, easy, pleasure, makes you do it often. You do it often, you've now developed a habit. See, we have to have a habit. We have to develop characteristics that are what? Remember back in step one, changing the way you think, that you now have the mind of Christ. Where? In you. No longer is it the evil in the world, but it's he that lives in me that's greater. I die of self that he may live. So no longer do I go by the things that I used to go by. I make a system that holds me accountable. Come on, there's another word. Use that word with me today. Accountable. See, we in the body of Christ must become much more accountable. If we say we're going to do something, we must be the first one to do it. Let's stop getting an assignment, and, you know, we get big in Christ and we want to delegate. Sometimes God makes it, he puts it there for us to have to go through it. So we'll have the testimony, so we'll have the rewards of going through. Now, who better to teach the story about going through than Christ? What better example can we follow? You know, the Lord has given us his uncompromisable word that is truth. And the truth is all led up, all the way until Matthew is led up to what? Christ. Christ is life, life more what? Abundantly. So if I can elevate myself and join myself and start to emulate and change my bad habits into some Jesus habits, my habits will now become godlike. I don't have to worry about what decision I'll make because we have systematically trained ourselves to be conscious, to be focused, to be accountable. And stop allowing other things that have nothing to do with the situation to step up and discourage us from going where God has called us to do or to go. Get off the bike with the broken chain where you just pedaling, pedaling, pedaling. You're spinning, 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 but you're going nowhere. If you're on a bicycle, if you're in a church, if you're at a job, if anything in your life is not being productive, get off the bike. Or take it to the repair shop and get it fixed. If you're riding a bike and the bike is broken, you can fix the chain and the bike will work. But a lot of us don't want to do the maintenance or don't want to do the hard work. There's another one. Say this with me. Hard work. It's going to take some hard work to accomplish the goal of becoming Christ-like. Nothing's free. Everything, well, maybe in the world, there's a lot of things free in the world because they just want to distract you. They'll give you something free because they know you like it, and you're going to come back and spend money. Whenever you see free samples, I guarantee you it's the best on the menu because you will taste that sample, and you'll walk away and like, oh, no, I'm not going to eat out. I'm not going to eat out. But that taste will rise up. And you'll eventually go back and want to buy something that you tasted for free, which is really less than a penny a worth. But now they've made $15 on you because you came back just off a taste, off a sense. So our habits, our senses, our ways of obtaining knowledge, and our ways of going through our circumstances have to be substantiated on the word of God. Nothing else. No options. I choose you, Christ. I choose nothing else. I will take up my cross when daily. Oh, I heard you. You're on it. You're in the now. Because when I said when, you said when I said when. See, that is now. You see how just words come to life. When you just hear a recognizing word, when I say when, there's people all over the United States and probably the country. When I say when, we'll say now because they met me and they learned my language. Immediately, we must take up our cross, Daily. Daily. Come on, get a mindset of daily. Every day you wake up, family, you have to be ready, geared up, prepared. Don't just put on one part of the armor. Put on the full armor of God. See, that's that word. See, we take the word and we bring it in. Word confirms, you know, some people have one scripture that will confirm one scripture. There are a million scriptures, and I can't prove it, but I can tell you that every time I get them following, I have over 100 scriptures for one teaching that all confirm that the unifying principle is relationship with God. So if you have your drawing, you see that we start at from left to right. Remember, everything in this world is line upon line, precept upon precept. It's a linear world. It goes from left to right. I don't care how you look at it. You cannot start from 5 and end up at 1. You start at 1 and you end up at 5. So we must follow instructions in this linear walk, having a principle that will take us from left to right and give us the word that will substantiate our walk, because our what? Our steps have been ordered by who? The Lord. So, yes, he intended you to go through there, but not for hurt, not for harm. He knew that there was a greater gift on the other side if we could just make ourselves sacrifice a little something. Sacrifice a little something and allow God to get the glory. Yes, we say it all the time. We speak those words all the time. We profess it all the time. But do you really want God to get all the glory? Maybe the question. See, there are a lot of questions that as we're going through principles, you'll have to ask yourself. Because here's a word for you. It's called a bottleneck. A bottleneck is something in a system that doesn't totally restrain the flow. No, it doesn't stop the flow, but it restrains the flow. Now, you in business know that when you're testing your system, if something's not working in your system to, just say, for instance, you're making cookies. And at the beginning of the line, you're putting in the flour, the milk. You're going to make chocolate chip on this run, so you're putting chips in, sugar, and all the ingredients that it costs to make your cookie. Well, you start to make in your batch, you're there for the first batch, and it's a smooth system because the owner is there watching. So, of course, everybody's going to be in the right place at the right time. Everybody's going to do what they're supposed to do. And that first batch comes out, and it's perfect. Man, you're excited. You call your customer. And believe me, here's a free one. To stay in business, you must keep a happy customer. So you call your customer. You're all excited. You're all happy. Man, I just tried these cookies. Boy, they're the bomb. You're going to love them. I'm sending out the first pallet of testers. See, they're that test again. I'm going to send out that free pallet of testers, and I'm going to let you give them away free. This is on me because, you know, I know this is a million-dollar job because it's only costing me $50 to make a pallet, but I'm selling a pallet for $5,000. I got a lot of cost margin in there. I could give away a pallet. But watch this. Because I'm not a focused owner and I'm not a trained, systematic person, I walk away because I've tested the original batch. I've supervised everybody that's going on, and this may be helping somebody in your business or your church, but I supervised everything, and just when I saw the first batch, I ran off and started doing something else. Well, production keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, keeps going, and you know, you're still living on the sample. You're out making new orders and trying to sell to Costco and Sam's and all these big Walmarts and stores, and all of a sudden you get a call from your customer. Now, remember I said to stay in business, you must do what? Keep a what? Happy customer. Well, that customer who was happy with the sample calls you back and is irate. And he says to you, hey, man, you try to bamboozle me. You sent me a good pallet, but I got 100 pallets in my warehouse that they don't taste like chocolate chips. As a matter of fact, it tastes like something out the garbage. Wow, it blows you away because now you have $5,000 worth of product that's already been produced. You could call it wasted. You got wasted product in a warehouse you could do nothing with. But now you have an unhappy customer. Well, that comes from a bottleneck because you did not train your people to go through your system with you, because you did not supervise everyone knowing and owning up to their own job position and making sure, first of all, before they own up to it, that they have embraced it as something that they have passion for. Even in work, you don't want to put a person typing who hates to type. You don't want to put a person cleaning floors who cannot stand to clean. Their house is a mess, and you want to make them a janitor. They're in the wrong position. They're in the wrong position. So look at this. Now look at this. So now that's called a bottleneck. Yeah, your system is working. Everything on the outside is shiny. They cleaned up well. But you have bad product coming in out. Why? Well, because most of us, we put our quality control at the end of the line. Quality, you're your own QC, family. You are in charge of quality control. Meaning, anything going in your system and anything coming out your system is your responsibility. Now, most people start businesses way. They put quality control on the end because all they want to do is see the finished product. Well, I beg to differ with you because I learned in business that to be successful, I had to put my quality control at the beginning of the line. I had to check the dates on my milk. I had to check the dates on all my ingredients to make sure they were good. Well, that bottleneck cost me a lot of money because I was not what? Focused. Because I wasn't committed. Because I wasn't being held accountable. And number one, I didn't follow instructions. It's the same thing with God's word. You got a bottleneck in your life today, and you're wondering how to get rid of it. All you have to do, family, is change position and take quality control from the end and bring quality control to the front, meaning that you console God on everything you do, anything you do, whoever you're involved in your life, whoever you're allowing to be a part of your ministry. You now have QC'd these people. You have QC'd their spirit. You have now confirmed what? Not by a piece of paper, but by the spirit. Because it's not by power and might, but it's by God's divine spirit, his divine spirit. And as we learn to go through principles, we have to understand that it's not a physical battle. It's a spiritual battle. To go through, yes, it's going to hurt your flesh, because the flesh will not go. If it says pain, your flesh will go around. And here you are again, ending up right back where you started from. Well, enough is enough. We want to go through with excellence. We want to follow the example of who? Christ. And we want Christ, his way, to walk through and to come out victorious. Now, I don't know about you, but I want to come out victorious. I want to be the winner. I heard Evangelist say yesterday, you're the head, not the tail. You're the lender, not the borrower. Well, you cannot be that unless your system is operating without any bottlenecks. Bottlenecks are things that distract you. Bottlenecks are things that will lead you off track, that will send you the other way. When you're at a fork in the road and it's left or right or straight, the bottleneck will send you the wrong way. But when you take your quality control, see, quality control, first of all, they do is that they verify and re-verify. Now, who's the QC today? You are. So before you do anything, you have to verify and qualify. And you may have to go through and verify and qualify again until you know by the what spirit that is confirmed that this is of God. Then you have to now test it. See, God may have sent you something that was meant for New Destiny Ministry. Yeah, you quality control it. You know it's a good thing of God. You know it sounds good. It looks good. And you want it to be a part of yours. But see, we got to test it out sometimes, because what God sent to you may be the gift he wanted you to send to somebody else. But we're so, you know, we want to keep everything for ourselves. We got somebody in our church that's doing a job. I was supposed to send him to New York. And he's not growing because he's not in his right position. But when I quality control things and then test them and then retest them, I can go to the brother and say, man of God, You're awesome. You're called of God. But you know what? You were sent to me for me to get you ready to go over here. I release you right now. Let's make a phone call. Let's make this happen. Let my ministry help you get to where God wants you to go, because that's why he sent you to come help me. Let's plant more churches. Let's stop hoarding pastors in one building. Let's start sending churches out. Let's send them out two by two. Let's start going and making what? Disciples. We're wondering why we're losing the wars, because we're not building the army that God has instructed us to the way he instructed us to, because we will not follow instructions. Now, I know that's not for all of us on here. And I know for those that weren't following instructions, that's not going to be you anymore either. Because to get God's word to activate and work in your life, the number one step is following instructions. Following instructions. Now, turn your Bibles with me to Hebrews Hebrews 5, 8 and 9. Now, we want to be like who? Christ. So we want to be Christ-like. We got to follow the example of Christ. So there's a learning tool for you right there. I want to be more like Christ. Get in the Word and just study the walk of Christ. The book was not made like a novel. It wasn't written to just be read once. It was developed, first of all, to confirm that there was more than one witness. Then on top of that you could go in the Word of God and it could come to you different every day. It's not mysterious, it's miraculous. Because you'll get one message one day, and the next day you may get another message according to how God will want this to work in your life. Hebrews 5, beginning at the 8th verse. Though he was a son, that right there tells me that he had lowered himself from his natural position. He had lowered himself from his natural position. Yet he learned. Now we're talking about the Son. The Son is who? Jesus. We're talking about walking like who? Jesus. We're talking about being an example just like Jesus. But guess what? We confirmed this last week that we can do greater things. Jesus told us this. This wasn't something that was written down by somebody else. This wasn't a rumor. This wasn't a gossip. This was a divine word from God that Jesus told us that we could do more. Greater things than he. So stop right there. Let's get out of the just good enough. Woo, I know that touched me. Let's get out of, well, see, we're in a new season now. God already prepared us to where we're going. Now we've stepped over and we are now perfecting. See, you go from preparation to perfecting. So now we're in the perfecting season. That as we go through and as we follow what? Instructions. When you hear the woman or the man of God declare something from God, like the double-fold seed, that's something that we have to jump on immediately. Because we've done it before, that we got a request for something and we waited to the last minute and then nothing happened. You know why? Because the request came for an immediate action on the person who was charged to do it. When? I heard you. Yes, right now. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See, there's a lesson to be learned through the things we suffer. Yeah, it hurt a little bit. Yes, it was a little uncomfortable. But when you go through and you go through, remember I said earlier, it's not the point of going through, it's how you go through. He didn't say take up your cross and be sad daily. He didn't say take up your cross and be crazy daily. He didn't say take up your cross and be silly daily. He said take up your cross daily. End of conversation. With the joy of the Lord. with the excitement that I'm going through. I know your friends going to look at you crazy. They're going to say you're out of your mind. But when you are doing things according to the will of God, you're going to look peculiar. You're going to look like you don't fit in. You're going to look like you don't belong because you don't. You're not. And you won't be. But glory to God that as we learn that if Jesus can learn obedience by the things he went through, so can I. Come on, we already know in 2 Corinthians 1, 3, and 4, it tells us that God comforts us through the trials and the tests. God would not put more on us than we can handle. He has built us. He has designed us. We talked about this too, in his likeness. Just because sin came didn't take us out of the likeness of God. It just made us now be in a choice realm where we could go left or right. We you know, see, Adam and Eve didn't have choice. Everything was good. Sin came to take away the good where we would have to choose between good and not so good. The word told us last week, Matthew 10:38, if there's no cross involved, there's no worth to it. Meaning, if it's not now what the cross to me, when I hear about the cross, all I think about is Jesus. I don't think about wood. I don't think about the blood. I don't think about anything other than what Jesus did on the cross that symbolized the blood, that symbolized, but that's irrelevant. Those are material things. The spiritual thing is that I am connected to the bearer of the cross. Now, so if he can learn, look at yourself or look at your neighbor and say, if Jesus can learn, so can I. And having been perfected, now watch this. He suffered first. Then in 9, it could have been switched around. It could have said in 8, being perfected through the suffering he went through. No, that's not what it said. Your Bible may, I hope it reads the same as mine does. So he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. That's number one. He suffered first. And then by suffering, having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation to what? Just you? No. Just me? No. I think my word says the same as yours. To all. Is that what it says? It says he became the author of eternal. Eternal. There's no ending in eternal. That he is the author. He wrote the book on it. Eternal salvation. Not just salvation for one sin. Not just getting over one obstacle. Not just getting over one situation. He said eternal salvation. To all who... Now, here's the catch, 22, to the whole principle. You must follow instructions because it says right there, well, obey means the same to me, but it says to all who obey him. When you obey, you follow instructions. Why are we steadily going over and over and over the same problem that we already know the answer to, and all we have to do is follow instructions? When? Right now. I have to keep saying this over and over again because we have to get out of this mentality that we can make a plan for 3 years, 5 years, 4 years, 2 days. Friend, family, your plan is immediate. Your plan must become constant. Your plan must be in the now. When? Right now. Stop holding on to God's unchanging hand because his hand don't change. It's the same yesterday as it was the day before. But see, we get in that mentality from the way it's been done through our families, through this here. Now we're back to the unifying principle, the brain. Most of us do things because that's how my mama did it, but that's how my father did it, that's how my grandfather did it, that's many men marry their wives a certain way just because that's how his daddy did it. Many women do certain things just because their mother did it. A lot of us go to the same church just because my mom and daddy went there, and they didn't grow, and you ain't growing either. That don't make it right. But what makes it right is when we are willing. See, if you didn't have to follow instructions, you wouldn't have to be willing. If you didn't have to mind somebody, and I don't care who told you you didn't have to, you're going to always have to mind somebody. Get a promotion, you still got a boss. Get another promotion, you still got a boss. Look, become an owner of your own business, you still got a boss because you got the banks, you got the lenders, you're going to always answer to somebody. So we could systematically train ourselves to just understand it. See, those are things that we could get out the way. Here, take your right hand, and just swipe it across the front of you. That's the stuff we can just swipe out the way. See, we spend too much time on little stuff. You know it's already been done. Swipe your hand. It's already been done. Stop worrying about what's done or how to do it or when it's going to get done. Swipe your hand. Move it out the way because God already fixed it. From the end to the beginning, in heaven as it on earth as it already is done in heaven. See, we get caught up on the little stuff that will distract us from finding the purpose, the plan, and the protection that God would have for us to go through our circumstances. We get distracted. Ooh, it's hot in there. Ooh, I need to take a coat anyway. It might get cold. We worry about all these different little entities and just saying, you know what, not my will. I know for some people that sounds a little radical. I know for some people say, he can't live his life that way. You better ask somebody. Because when you've done enough stuff in your life where you know it's only the grace of God that has kept you here, and I'm speaking personally, I have no other choice. See, what Hebrews 5, 8, and 9 represents to me is that this is a must. It's a must. It's a requirement of me every day to wake up and go through a circumstance. Yes, I learned a lesson yesterday. Yes, I'm going to learn one today. Yes, I'm looking to learn one tomorrow. Yes, I'm waking up in the morning attacking. Instead of going in and getting caught off guard, I'm walking into it already. Okay, I can tell this is going to be my cross today. Let me get this one out the way first. I start out in prayer, I start out in commitment, and I do not give in. I stand. And guess what? I come out, and then, which we're going to talk about in a minute, I come out with the things that God says I can have. And my mindset, family, is 1 Peter 12. It tells me that I must rejoice. I must rejoice. 1 Peter 12. The whole book, I must rejoice going through my circumstances. I must have joy instead of sorrow. I must be happy instead of sad. I must be willing to go instead of being pushed to go. I cannot allow the enemy to send me off of my direction. When? Right now. James 1 and 17 tells us that God blesses those who patiently. Now, I know all of us have a problem with that, or I know I do. I can tell you right now, well, my number one thing in the morning is that's my cross, and that patience. I'm still working on patience because I do walk in the now. I do believe in the now, but it still requires patience. I want it done right now. I want it all right now. But it will go faster because those of you that lived in the world and had a lot of money, as fast as you made that money, how fast that money leave? Faster. Patience will teach us how to endure the testing, but it will also give us a reward to know how to slow down in the flesh and stay on time in the spirit. Slow down in the flesh and step it up in the spirit. No, I don't want. I'm not telling you to get out and everywhere you go, you just run around, jumping off the walls. No, but your spirit is the one I'm encouraging to step the game up. Your spirit is the one that we're being required. We are being required of our spirit to do greater than you did. To stop settling for just enough. For just going through halfway and not completing. See, it's our spirit that will tell us to follow through with what you said you would do. Do what you say and say what you'll do. Stop. There's nothing else to say. That's another one of those you can just flop out your way. Because when you're about God's business, you do what God says. What God says, do it. When? Right now. People are wondering, well, is Pastor going to show up? They know if they call me, I'm going to be there 30 minutes ahead of time doing praise and worship if they don't show up and everything else to make sure that we stay on time and follow instructions. One of the biggest tools that we can use in our churches is one simple principle that will make people come back, and they'll come back so fast that you'll wonder why. Here it is. Newsflash. I should post this on Facebook, but you know, I better copyright it first because this could be a million member idea. Here it is. Pastors, bishops, evangelists, anyone who is in charge of starting something. You must start on time. And here's the most important time. You must end on time. Yeah, I'm going to say that again. You must start on time, and you must end on time. I'm telling you, I'm a pastor. I go to some churches that just won't stop. And if it quenches my spirit, I know what it's doing to the members. We wonder why people don't come back, because we keep them too long. We have so many little services. Now, me personally, I'm not saying you have to do this. But me personally, in my church, we don't take up an offering service. We teach the word of God of sowing and reaping and the 10% and everything else. And everyone in there knows, every member knows their responsibility. And family, here, this is another one for you. You knew what you was going to give God Saturday night. Why you just didn't write the check, put it in the envelope, have it in your Bible ready to go. So as soon as you came to church, that's the first thing you did is sow your seed. See, I believe that if we already know what we got to do, all we need is one basket with a little, one of those mail slots on it. And when you come in worship in the morning, that's the first thing you do is sow your seed. We pray over it together. And, yes, we offer new members and visitors a chance to sow after service, a little quick one-minute little thing. But, you know, some offerings, especially in big churches, take 30 minutes. In small churches, some offerings take 30 minutes because they want to keep going and keep going and keep going. That, I'm passionate about that. I'm going to stop right there. Thank you, Holy Spirit. But when we critique our systems in our churches and we condense the time to be about worship and the word, people come in there happy, ready to go happy. Because we have learn how to endure. We have learned from our lessons. We have not going by just somebody telling me through my example. We must start on time, and we must end on time. Now, don't get me wrong. There's going to be some Sundays, and I know a lot of y'all out there saying, what about when the Holy Spirit moved? Well, yes, but see, now people stay voluntarily. Because if the Spirit is moving, everybody in our church knows that we start at 10, we end at 12. At 12 o'clock, that door is available for you to go with no condemnation. Ain't nobody going to stop you and say, no, man, you can't do this. Because you got to go cook for, women, men too, we got to go cook for our families. We got to go barbecue. That's our only really off day is Sunday.
Lord Jesus, they don't want to hear that.
And then people don't come back because you got them in there at 4 o'clock and they don't even have time to do nothing but go to sleep and go back to work. They ain't going to miss some Sundays. Because our system is not perfected. Because our system has not put quality control in charge. Who's quality control? You are. But who's over you? God. We got to run everything through him. But see, we run people off.
Mm.
We run people off because we don't have a system that has went through the circumstances to come out and be able to put together a systematic plan that works for everybody.
My, my, my. You teaching.
Okay, so now as we learn to go through, we can now build our systems in our lives that resemble the Word of God. Remember, I told you this from day one. The Word of God is applicable in every area of your life. At work? Oh, well, Pastor, they don't let me have a Bible at work. You got a phone. Come on. I know I have three different Bibles on my phone. You sit up there on Facebook all day long. If you cannot tell me, you cannot look at your Bible. At home, the Word is everywhere. You can, we can now make entertaining games with our kids with the Word of God. We can interact with God in the Word. We can find out that the Word of God is not boring. It's actually really exciting. It's, if you get into it deep enough, it's fun. When you can see the Word come to life, I get joy. When I see God moving through the things of God, I get joy. I used to get all excited about when I did something. Oh, look what I did. Oh, look how I accomplished something. And those same things was gone just that fast. Ooh, but glory to God. When I see God moving, those things don't go away. They get stronger. They get stronger. They get wiser. They get better. Because they learn to endure and go through the test with a willing spirit of joy. Of what? Of joy. When? Right now. I have to preach the now. Everybody knows that I'm going to preach the now, because if you're not in the now, you will get left behind. We all need this. This isn't just for P2P. This is free for the world, that we all, Christians, unified in one accord, need to be in the what? Now. And we got to remember 1 Peter 1 and 13. It says there, watch this. See, you go through, you're happy. You go through with a good attitude. But we go through without all the proper protection that we have. 13 reads, therefore, gird up the loins of your what? Mind. That's the number one step. See, I'm going to keep showing you this because that's what I found in this word, that the number one thing you have to get right is your mind. Yes, you need to lose weight. Yes. Yes, you need to be more healthier. Yes. And preferably, you can do them together. But if it had to be chosen, what is number one priority in our lives? It is bonding and having a unfailable relationship with God. And we must change the way we think. Now, this is telling me I change the way I think. I must also gird up the loins of my mind. Be sober and rest your hope fully, not just some, not just a little, not just, but it says rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of who? Jesus Christ. Stop worrying. If you have to do anything in your life that you cannot add Jesus into it, that's another one of them swoops. Swoop it out your life. That's a hands down. See, there's some things that we have to. I'm not going to even use the word that you might or that you can. There are things in our lives right now that we need to swoop out of our lives that fast because it's holding us back. And it really has nothing to do with the situation. Come on, I'm going to raise my hand before I even say this. Who's going through something, or who just came through going through something, that when you conquered the equation, the person that was holding you back didn't really have a thing to do with what was going on? I'm raising my hand already. The person who distracted you or told you couldn't was telling you you couldn't do something about something else. But that same word that comes to be life in you now makes you discouraged about everything. It had nothing to do with your trial or your tribulation. But just because they're in misery, remember this, misery does love company. We draw unto us the likenesses of ourself. Here, let me say that one again. We draw unto ourselves likenesses of yourself. You are not going to make friends with people who don't like the things you like or like to do the things you like to do. We corridor, we draw, we pull people into us because of the likenesses of our heart. So, you know what, I'm not going to go there because I don't want to roll over no toes today. But I'm going to put it like this. I think you may have heard me say this before. If I was going to interview you for a job, I would tell you I have 4 openings. Do you have any friends? You say, oh, yeah, man, oh, yeah, I got 3 homies. All of us need work. I would then tell him, bring them all. I want to interview everybody. So I bring them in, and the only reason and the only purpose that I brought them in is because I'll find out more about Joe from the other 3 friends than I'll ever find out from Joe. Because, see, Joe will tell me what I need to hear, what I want to hear, and what the resume or what the job description asks for. So I'm not getting the full Joe. I'm only getting the Joe that's sitting across from me at the table telling me just what I want to hear. But to have a good relationship with someone, you have to go a little deeper and investigate and find out really how they live their lives and really how they treat people and really how they perform their duties. Because somebody can look at you eye to eye and tell you, oh, man, I'm not lazy. Oh, no, I work from sun up to sundown. As soon as you get them to work, you're like, why did I hire this man here? I work harder than him because we didn't do the due diligence to go through and what? Quality control to verify, re-verify, to test it out and find out. I hire nobody until I put them on a 3-day trial. Now, in Texas, it's an at-will state, so we could do this without any problem. But when I was in California and I was a manager still for Procter & Gamble, I'd bring people in and I'd say, well, this is something I've drawn up, and I'm going to bring you in on a 3-day trial test. There may be something that you do I don't like or something that I do you don't like, and we could come to each other as gentlemen or gentlemen to woman and say, you know what, this is just not going to work. Over deal, no hard feelings. Somebody call and ask me for a reference. I'll just say, yes, he was here a couple of days. He didn't work out. I won't badmouth you, and vice versa. Somebody says, hey, what about that company? Yeah, man, that dude over there is fair. Because it only takes 3 days to know if something will work. It doesn't take any longer than that. It really only takes 1. But if you want to do the due diligence to give everybody the chance to pick up, some people don't pick up as fast as others. That's why we have to continue, family, in repetition. That's why we cannot let it go. I know you've heard me say some things probably 100 times, and I'm going to keep saying them. Because some things were meant to become so enriched and so built up in our spirit that they become a habitual characteristic for us. See, one of my characteristics is now. Everything I do, I train around the now thought. No, do I jump out the window just because it said jump out the window? No, but I make a plan to get out the window. And I don't do it tomorrow. I do it right now. And I make a plan. See, most of us get a word from God, and we jump out the window, break our leg, break our hip, need surgery, can't do no more work, but we did what we thought God said. Instead of taking one little slow moment and hearing his word clearly, seeing it through perception on the inside, then doing it in perfection, in excellence. God blesses those who patiently endure testing. Now watch this. Watch this. When you go through your circumstances, the Bible now gives you a definition or gives you a new name. And if you went through your circumstance with the grace and with the honor that we've been talking about in these scriptures, this is your new name. Psalms 107 and 2. Psalms 107 and 2. Let the What? Redeemed. Today, your name is redeemed. Because it says when you go through, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, who has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. See, when you go through your circumstance, you now become closer to God and less to the enemy. You are now a part of the redeemed family, and we can all say so in unison. You are supposed to come out of your circumstance and be so excited, so full of joy, because you have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ and by the example of what he's taught us to go through our circumstances when? Daily. Take up your cross. Go willingly. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not upon your own understanding. See, when we say decrease, that needs to die. Your own understanding. Those are attributes that we have to get rid of. We can no longer live that way. We have to get rid of it. We got to move around, change directions. Remember, quality control was at the end of the line. Some of us need to move around and get to the front of the line. Some of us need two or three quality controls at the front, the middle, and the end. Woo, glory. Some of us need quality control on our shoulders, in our back pockets, and everything else. We need to quality control everything in your life. Nothing. Nothing comes in that has not passed inspection. Because now, when it comes out, if it comes out crappy, you got to answer to it. You have to be the one to say, yeah, you told me so. Instead of being redeemed, saying so, that I came out of this thing with victory. I'm waiting for my next trial. Because I'm going through with the same attitude of rejoicing that I could come out and be redeemed of the enemy. Because these obstacles don't come just to test you. It comes to give us a true way of getting through the circumstance. When? Right now. No, not tomorrow. Right now. Now, if you're looking at your drawing, these are some more scriptures, because we are about to complete step two of going through with purpose. See, stop just going through. Stop just halfway. Stop just sort of. Stop just maybe kind of. Start going through with purpose. Start waking up every day in prayer, asking for guidance on what's coming up and what I am about to go through, because it's coming. Why not be ready? Why not be prepared? Why not already have the whole armor of God on? See, I'm getting to the point where through repetition, I just wear the armor the whole time. I don't take it off anymore, so I don't have to put it on no more. Because he never said in the word, put it on and take it off. He just get told us to put it on. That tells me I'm supposed to perfect keeping it on at all times. Because the test will come. And even though you plan for one test, the enemy is slick. He's going to come with another test to try to distract you from going through the first test. See, he is the prince of this world. He does know how to use the things in this world to distract us. See, family, he cannot make us do a thing. He can only present us with another option, another choice. He can't put the sin in your hand and say, I command you to do this sin. He doesn't have that power over you, over me, over any of us. The only power he has is to rob, kill, and destroy our ability to communicate with God clearly so we can go through with victory, rejoicing, coming out redeemed. Romans 8:17, we are instructed to suffer with Jesus Acts 14:22 tells us that there are tribulations that are attributed to entering into the kingdom of heaven. 2 Corinthians 1:4, God does comfort you, me, through the trial, through the test. No matter what you're going through, he is still with you. He has not, he never let Job go. He was always with Job. He would never let anything happen to Job because he only gave Job what he could handle. 1 Corinthians 3:13-14, we will, it's a promise, be tested by the fire. Isaiah 43:2, God is with us. No matter how bad it looks, he's with us. And guess what? The more we build up that relationship with him, the more we develop that sacred place for him to dwell, he never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He never lets us down. He can't lie. So here, there's another one. Switch it out the way. He can't lie, so get that one out the way. See, those are little things, family, that if we get the little stuff out the way, we can deal with the number one thing, relationship with God. And this is profound because I was ministering with a friend of mine the other day, and we were talking about this, and this. And he was being very transparent, and he wanted to tell me a little something about him. And I want to know some things about you today, right now. But if it's something to do with your past, if God put it behind you, why do I have to worry about it? Why do I have to judge you on your past when I met you in your now? Yes, oh, don't get me wrong. Yes, I must investigate and be the watchman, be the quality controller of my system. But once we connect, your past is dead to me. Because if it's dead to God, it has to be dead to me. So we were talking, and I said to him, I said, you know, we're sitting there talking about this thing wrong. We're on the wrong spot. And I say this to everybody out there. Anything you're going through, anything you're challenged with, anything that is coming against you and trying to pull you away from God, let it go. Stop worrying about it. Stop trying to fix it. That's why the Bible says, cast all your cares and worries on the Lord. If you're living in sin, I will tell you right now, do not concentrate on getting out of the sin. Now watch, I'm going to clean it up. Watch. I know the scholars are out there saying, what did he say? Don't concentrate on the sin, but concentrate on the forgiver of sin. See, when we concentrate on the forgiver of sin, who is God, who is Jesus Christ, and we bond and develop this relationship with him, everything else will be taken care of. He will move things out of your life the closer you get to him. And guess what, family? You don't have to be a mean person about it either. See, most of us, we get saved, sanctified, full of the Holy Ghost, we go tell people, I can't hang with you no more. Get out of here. And we say, I don't do this no more. And we fired up. And next thing you know, we back doing the same thing we used to do. Because God didn't take it. We took it. But when you cast all your cares on him, that means that my past is dead. My fear is gone. Temptation is in your hand. And sin, most definitely, is gone. Erased out my life because, you know, the only thing that concerns me is my relationship with God. It must be number one priority. Number one priority. No waving off. No second, nothing. No straddling the fence. No this today, that tomorrow. It must be a habit. It must be a part of our character that we are concerned about God's relationship and his finding us pleasing in his eyesight. Your sin will be taken away. The people who you're sitting with will not find it comfortable to be around you anymore. Not because you cussed them out or you ran them off, but because the Spirit of God has now overtaken you, and now these people see that, ooh, no, I can't do that around him no more. You don't even have to be mean about it. See, that's when I say, don't worry about it. That's what I say, don't focus on it. That's another one of those things, swish it out the way. Because the most number one important thing is getting in line with God. Having a divine relationship with him where it's you and him, supping with one another, one-to-one. Trust is built. Your faith is established. Your hope is restored. Your courage is redeemed. Your confidence is instilled. And your birthrights have been now given back to you where you can go out and be greater. Where you can go out and be, you know what? It says, I am what? More than a conqueror. That doesn't take away anything from Jesus. Yes, Jesus came to conquer. But he now says that we are more than. When? Right now. No, not next week. And don't get me wrong. You're not going to get saved, come in, and be the leader of worship at my church the next day. But you won't be condemned that if you're not qualified to come in and learn the principles and get in line with not me, but God, you can come and do whatever you want to do in the church because it's not up to me. I don't hire and fire in the church. I just put people in the position God told me to put them in. See, I rely on my quality control so I can now quality control my system. And I teach my friends and my family to have quality control in your life, that you are the protector of what's in your life. You're the protector of what's guiding you, what's feeding you, what's fueling you.
Hello?
Most of us wake up in the day, we go to work 8 hours. At the end of the 8 hours, we're tired because we're not fueled by the right fuel. We don't have the Spirit of God pushing us at work. See, I go to a job to work for man because I'm not looking at man. I'm looking like I'm working for God. No, you didn't. No, I know somebody didn't ask me where is that in the Word, because it's in the Word. Ooh, Jesus, right here. Ooh, just for a quick one, I'm going to give this to you, and you can go and read this, because this helped me on my, when I was working in corporate America, this helped me a lot. Romans 13 chapter. It says, let every soul, that's another switch. There's no who, what they're talking to. Every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from who? God. And the authorities that exist are appointed by who? God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist bring judgment on themselves. Listen, if you got a boss that's in authority position, I know you say, I ain't listening to him. He ain't no Christian. It didn't say a Christian authority figure. He said any authority figure. You're subject to them, not because they're great. You're subject to them because they were ordained by God. It says that if you do not respect them as the authority like God, you are now condemned to cussing and putting God to the side. That's my word. It says, look, well, here, I'll read it again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God. Anybody who's in authority position, there is no authority position out there that didn't come from God. That's what my word says. And the authorities that exist are what? Appointed by God. Now, yes, the enemy has taken what was meant to be good and turned it around to bad, but that's when we come in and take what was meant to be bad and turn it into good. See, no excuses. Therefore, resist the authority, resist the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. You're going to have to always mind somebody. And we got to stop making excuses that because he's not a Christian, I don't have to listen to him. He's an authority figure. God didn't say a race, color, creed, or religion. He just said all authorities that exist are appointed by God. Come on, somebody. That's the same Bible you have. We're going to have to mind somebody. Why not let it be God? See, if we mind God, he'll put everybody else in place. God told me the other day, I got a new job. I don't like it. I said, well, did you consult God first? He said, no, I prayed after I had the interview that he let me get it. I said, see, that's the system backwards. You should have went to God first and said, God, I need a job. I want to work. Now, what I'm going to do, God, is I'm going to position myself to be an activist for finding a job. I'm going to seek till I find. I'm going to ask until I get it. I'm going to knock on every door until the right door is open for me because I'm going to activate my faith. But God, in that turn, by us humbling ourselves to him and casting our needs on him, our desires, we say it's dead. Let your desire. We will now knock on the right door that will receive you right in, and it will be the place God wanted you to be, and you will be happy. But see, there it is. Quality control is on the back end, not the front end. The back end, not the front end. See, we got to check it coming in. And it's good to check it in the middle. That's even better. And check it on the way out. That way you got a fail-safe system that will not fail. When? Right now. I hope that helps somebody in Romans 13. Read the whole chapter because God is keeping it real with us and telling us, don't think there's no escape clauses. I made it where my word is so clear that you cannot finagle your way out of it or make excuses to say this is why you're not doing right or why you're doing wrong. And I know it's a lot of people that say, I quit that job because he was a Muslim and he wasn't no Christian. There's nothing in the Bible that tells me that's justified. We have to mind somebody. Now, listen, God will, when we mind and obey and follow the ordinance that he has set, God will fix all that. That's when we cast them all on him. That's when we stop worrying about what's around us or what's on us or what's there, who, what, and where. The only thing we worry about is the relationship with God. It must become number one. Not how well I sing, not how well I preach, not how well I run around or go to church and everybody say, ooh, he's anointed. Ooh, she just got the glory of God all over her. Don't know her from the first person in the world, but because she can run that church and scream and holler, she's anointed. And I'm not saying that takes away from someone being anointed, but we mostly justify people on the stuff they do and not the stuff that God does in them. Oh, yeah, he looks like a pastor. Oh, yeah, she looks like she sees. Oh, see, there we go again, back to the subconscious mind. We go by the subconscious, the five senses that tells us it smells good, it looks good, it tastes good, it feels good, it sounds good. But was it really good? But see, when we go through our circumstances with purpose, we understand that there are rewards that come from following God's plan. Skip your Bible back to Romans 5. Third and fourth verse. As a matter of fact, let's go all the way back up to 1. We're going to read we're going to read 1 through 4, maybe 5. Therefore, having been justified by faith. It took faith to go through that circumstance. Your faith had to be established in Christ to follow him and take up your cross daily. None of us ever saw that wood cross. None of us ever saw that blood actually drip. None of us ever witnessed the mockery on Jesus' life eye to eye. We have to only see it through faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into grace in which we stand and rejoice in our hope of the what? Glory of God. Now, family, when you follow the steps, when you go through with purpose, when you allow God to order your steps and follow instructions, these are some of the rewards that you will get not only one time, but every time you pick up your cross daily and follow him. Not only that we Not only that, but we also glory in our what? Tribulations. Knowing that tribulations, see, tribulations is when you go through. Tribulations produces what? Perseverance. See, we learn how to persevere by going through. And then perseverance will now build our, this is the word, it says, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And then it says in 5, and now hope does not what? Disappoint. So you won't be discouraged. You will be encouraged because the love of God has been poured out into where? Your heart. We already established that your heart is where? In your mind. So God is now pouring out his love in your hearts by the what? Holy Spirit, who was given to us. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. There it goes again. He's talking about all of us, everyone, anyone. Just because you don't choose him does not mean you didn't have an opportunity to. Everyone has a right to the tree of life. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for the righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, we hadn't even went through a circumstance yet. We hadn't even fought a tribulation yet. He sent his son to come and bear witness to this principle by his death on the cross. Now today is your day. Today is the day that you graduate. Graduate what, Pastor? Well, you graduate from being sick and tired. Will you graduate from being unconscious? Will you graduate from being lackadaisical? Will you graduate from being not committed? Because when you go through your circumstance, God will bless you. He'll bless you with wisdom. He'll bless you with understanding. He'll give you patience. He'll build your character. He'll restore your hope. He'll give you a testimony. He'll build your endurance for the next trial you go through. And we learn. He will learn you to persevere by going through a tribulation. Now you say, okay, good word, Pastor. Oh, man, that was dynamic. But I'm still having a problem understanding how to activate this powerful word you're talking about it, because I see it working in your life. I see how this word just comes to life. Woo! When you preach, I just sit there in awe because I've never heard it this way before. What he did for me, he can do for you. And it goes back to the principle of relationship with him. Deuteronomy 28. Now, yes, I do have a little sneak preview of where Evangelist Bernard is going to go next week. So I just want to open up with a principle from Deuteronomy 28 that will give us something to go with her next week and follow instructions. See, we need as much word as we can get so we can what? Follow instructions. When? Right now. No, not next week. Right now. Now, the principle that is here in Deuteronomy 28, and if you can write this down, it's great. This is another free one. This principle is being able to do God's word when? Right now. No, not part-time, not little time, but fully. Uncompromisable. Fully. Do it to the completion if you follow these three simple steps. Number one, hear it. Number two, see it. Number three, do it. When? And just put underneath there the capital, now, N-O-W. Now, this is in the word. I've shared with you from day one. I will never come to you with a principle that I made up on my own. I will come to you what God showed me in his word and has given me proof that this is what can be brought from it. The word came to life. Now, when? Now, when? Now, when? See, there's that word again. Now, it shall come to pass. We've already established shall is a promise. So this isn't just a by chance. This is a promise. Now, it shall come to pass if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. Stop. What do you do when you observe the voice? What do you do to recognize a voice? You got to do what? Number one, you got to hear it. That's the word. It says if you diligently. Now, that word diligently, say that with me, diligently. See, you've already spoke a word of life to you because we need to be diligent, meaning that we don't give up, that we don't just get one answer and think we're done. We follow because most of us would have got just that far. If you diligently obey the voice of the Lord, whoa, we're running down crazy. If I just obey his voice, bam, and we crash, we fail, and then we blame God. But we didn't do what? Follow instructions. Then it says, to observe carefully all. There's that word. See, God's word is so dynamic. It doesn't take a scientist or a scholar to get this word because it's all. You got to look for the power words. You got to work for. You got to look for the words that make a distinction. The words that separate from everything else. And there's another word. All. To observe carefully all his commandments which I command you when? Today. To observe, what do you do when you observe? You got to see it, don't you? You can't observe anything without looking at it. No, come on. Look up the word in the dictionary. Observe means to see. Number one is the what? Hear it. Number two, see it. And to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you on high above what? All nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you because you do what? Obey. What do you do when you obey? That means you do it. Hear it, see it, do it when? Now. Hear it, see it, do it when? Now. Hear it, see it, do it when? Now. See, when we get in the Word of God, we have to learn to hear his Word. Yes. Faith comes by hearing and hearing of the Word of God. So you have to hear, but not with your physical ears, but with your spiritual ears. You got to hear God's Word in such a discernment that when it comes through your channel, through your porthole of spiritual hearing, you now don't just hear it, but you hear it unto perception by what? Seeing it. Woo, Jesus. Let me give you a for instance. I say to you right now, table, what does your table look like? You wouldn't tell me, Pastor S-T-A-B-L-E. You would tell me, oh, my table, oh, it seats 100. It has gold on each post. The chairs rock and roll, and they recline, and they let up and down. See, your letter of table, of chair, came to life by what? The picture. See, you'll never give me an illustration of a word. You'll always give me the illustration of a picture. That's an important thing with God's word is that most of us just hear it. But the word tells me that I have to do what? Observe it. I have to see his word unto perception. Because a lot of us are running around here hearing God's word and think we're doing the right thing, and we're not, because we never took time to follow instructions. And when you follow instructions, it means you follow every step of the principle. You don't just take 1, 2, and 3 and go and think you're done or grand. You don't do just 5 and 6 and think you can. You complete the equation from start to finish. No wavering. Then when you see God's word unto perception, now you can go do it. Because you took time to follow instructions and you understand that this church that God showed you in the now, that he gave you through his letter, meant for you to see it in the spirit 6 months from now. That to build it up, he was going to give you the steps in seeing it on how to do this thing in excellence debt-free. But you ran out to the bank. You got a loan. You mortgaged this. You sold a car. You did all this. Church failed. You failed. Everybody looking at you like you're a failure. And it wasn't God's fault. It was because we did not follow instructions, and we didn't take time to listen to his word and to see his word, did do his word. Hear it, see it, do it when? Now, hear it, see it, do it when? Now, hear it, see it, do it now. Then you shall be blessed in the city, blessed in the country, blessed here, blessed there, blessed there, blessed there, blessed there, blessed there, blessed there. You're blessed, 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 blessed. But none of these blessings nor any of these curses come to pass until you pass the equation. These are all the things in 28 that you have an opportunity to receive. And I don't know if you've ever read it before, but this is just a news flash. The ratio to blessings versus curses are about a third blessings and the rest curses. So don't ever think that you get more from not following God. You always get worse. But to even get the greatness of God, you must follow his instructions to the fullest. Hear it, see it, and do it now. Oh, we thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just magnify you today, Lord, for an awesome session, Lord, an awesome gathering of family members coming to confirm that your word is alive. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that we leave this place different than we came. Lord, we magnify you, Heavenly Father God. We worship you, Lord, for you alone are worthy, Lord. And we just thank you that you are giving us the nuggets for change. Lord, we thank you, Lord, that you are holding us accountable to a higher standard. And, Lord, we already are walking in the goodness that you have promised, through our obedience to follow instructions. We glorify you, Lord. We pray for New Destiny Ministries, Lord, Evangelist Bernard. Lord, we pray for her health. We pray for her family. We put a special prayer out for her sister who is wrongly incarcerated. We pray for her right now that, Lord, whatever you're doing in that circumstance, you get the glory. But we ask for a double, triple, quadruple portion of favor. We ask for a double, triple, quadruple portion of grace. Lord, we ask you to intervene here. We're doing all we can on the outside, Lord Jesus, but we're asking you to intervene in this situation. We're asking through faith, Lord. We're asking through prayer, Lord. We're asking through the righteous prayers of the prayers of the righteous man availeth much. So we want our prayers to avail today. And we speak freedom. We speak freedom. We speak freedom right now in the name of Jesus. Now, Heavenly Father God, I know how awesome you are. I know that I can start to claim it right now that she's free. We ask you to move her up in the system and release her from the bondage that she's in. But I've guaranteed in my soul today, Lord, that even in where she's at, even the circumstances that she's in, she's still giving you glory. And the more she glorifies you, Heavenly Father God, the more you do for her. The more she prays, the more you move in her life. The more she receives the unction of your Holy Spirit, Lord, you will release her from that place, and she will be called free.
Thank you.
We thank you, Lord. We praise you, and we magnify your holy name today. Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Amen. 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 Come on, give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Glory.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
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 Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Practical, practical, practical. Hallelujah. Sound doctrine. Amen. Amen. The Bible says first natural and then spiritual. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Yeah, no more time. Hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah. Glory,
yeah,
Jesus.
Glory to God. I bless the Lord for the word today.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You know, God is a gracious God. Amen.
Hallelujah,
He's a
Jesus.
Long-suffering God. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Ooh, glory.
Thank you, Lord.
Come on,
you
praise
worthy,
him, family.
You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy.
Get out yourself,
worthy,
family. Give him some worship right now.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, hallelujah.
Jesus.
Jesus,
is my
Jesus,
line
Jesus,
open?
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Yes, you're open.
Ah, glory to God. Hallelujah. I just hear you. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you. I praise God for that word today, man, and even it being the third day in the new year, it was a blessing just to hear that. Amen. Sometimes we so spiritual until we, you know, just ignore the natural part of our being. Amen. So God is a long-suffering God. Amen. And we have to use wisdom in everything we do. I was drifting in and out, Pastor
yes,
Hamilton,
Jesus.
But I did get the meat of the word on today. Amen. So we know we have to do everything in decency and in order.
And in order,
amen.
Yes.
Amen. And if we do things decently and in order, then God will certainly come in and bless the work of our hands. He'll bless
Ooh, hallelujah.
Us from doing what we need to get done to bring awareness to people. You know, you find out, and, you know, I don't know about you all, I was saved in the Pentecostal Apostolic Church, amen.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you hear pastors saying y'all can sit at the football game 3 and 4 hours, but you can't be in church for 3 or 4 hours. Well, we got to know when, just like you say, when it's time to hold them and time to fool them. We can't, you know, and you say that, we say that all the time, and I take offense to it sometimes because, of course, you know, you go to church to worship and praise God, but at some point, you know, this spiritual man ain't even receiving it because the natural, the Bible say the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Amen. So sometimes our flesh take over. Amen. So we got to know, you know, the Bible say the spirit is subject to the prophet. So we have to know when
yes,
it's
yes.
time, hey, when you see folks getting up, putting their finger up, they're walking out on you, and then we get mad and we go preach on them. Well, hey, come on. Let's have some order here. Let's have some
come
order
on now.
Here. And some people
yes.
aren't some people are most, I won't say most, but we got a good percentage of pastors that's not working full-time jobs, may not have any husband, might not have a wife or a husband, may not have any other responsibilities. So they can stay there 5 and 6 hours. Amen?
Yes.
But at some point, they are no longer in the spirit. They are in the flesh. And Pastor Miller
that's right.
Taught on yesterday, preached that word on yesterday. We got to,
ooh, awesome
we
word.
Got to, we got to make this thing make sense. If it don't make any sense, then, you know, you lose people. You lose people, and we don't come to church to get beat up on. Amen. You come to worship and praise God and thank him for his greatness, thank him for his mercies, thank him for his grace. Amen. We don't come to get beat up. Amen. Amen. So, you know, I know
yes,
it's
yes.
necessary sometimes to chasten and correct, because that's what a father does. That's what a good shepherd does. But he does it with love. He does it with compassion. Amen. So I thank God for
yes.
Pastor Hamilton. I tell you, he's so passionate. And you know he's passionate about what he does, because if he wasn't passionate about it, it's no way in the world he can come on this line consistently. It's no way in the world that he can teach and preach this thing, and he don't feel it himself. Hey, amen. He don't need nothing
yeah.
now. It's in his belly. And that's what the Bible tells us. The scriptures tell us that out of our belly shall flow rivers of living
rivers.
Water. So you don't, yes, you got to study. Yes, you got to prepare. But guess what? When you are passionate and when you are sold out, guess what? God will put something in your belly. Yeah, glory
yes,
to God.
Yes, yes, yes.
And he'll give you something that he haven't given to the next fellow. Amen. He'll give
yes.
you fresh oil. He'll give you a rhema word. He'll give you a lagos word. So, hey, you don't have to go online and copy anything. Just spend some quality time with the
quality
Lord.
Time.
Why
yes.
you spend you may, oh, I'm a witness here today. If you spend
Come
some
on now.
Quality time communing with God, he will tell you what to speak. He will
yes.
tell you how to act. He will tell you when to go and when to not go. Hallelujah. God is a great God. Amen. He's not an imitator. He's not a perpetrator. Amen. He is a creator. God creates. He don't duplicate.
Yes.
Woo,
amen.
Jesus. Amen. So I thank God because Pastor Hamilton comes with the rhema word. He comes with the fresh word. And he can teach this thing in his sleep. Ah, I believe that because he's passionate about it and he's excited. Amen. So he's always looking to really better himself, improve himself. Amen. What am I not doing? What am I not saying? Amen. How can I do
yes,
this?
Yes.
How can I do that? But you have to consult God as he said today, and he's just confirming again the message on yesterday. And even the message with, Bishop Grant spoke on New Year's Eve. Amen. Something you was waiting for in June. God going to materialize it in January.
Yeah.
But
yes.
we must do something, people. We have to be a participator. You can't expect to be blessed and then you don't participate in your blessing. Amen. That's just like you asking God to bless you with a car and you don't participate in that blessing. Now, he's just not going to bring no car to your doorstep. Come on. You got to go out there to the car lot. Amen. You got to start communicating with some people. I don't know how folks going to say, oh, I'm waiting on the Lord. Waiting on the Lord don't mean sitting in a chair doing nothing. Waiting on the Lord means activating your faith. Ah, glory to God. Faith without works is
work
dead.
Work is dead.
So I don't care how much faith you have, there has to be some work. Let me let that alone. We got a good bit of people still on the line today, but thank you, Pastor Hamilton. That has blessed me. Amen. I'm
Amen.
Learning how to
Amen.
Put it off. 30-minute message, really, 15, 20 minutes. Because guess what?
Yep.
They ain't going to retain all of it anyway.
It sure ain't.
Won't
they
even
sure
take
ain't.
Notes. I'm just
yep.
being real, and I ain't throwing
Keep
off.
It real.
I won't even get the notepad and take a note. Amen. So guess what? You done worked up a sweat and you done gave it and go on home and they asked somebody, what was the word today? What was the message? They don't even know. I think
they don't even
was
know.
In Psalm 23rd. Well, you think that because guess what? That's the only psalm you know. Woo, glory to God. Open up the line, Sister Ruby. Let me leave that alone. But let me give you all a few announcements before you come with your comments or any questions that you might have. I'm going to be inboxing many of my friends and those that I know will respond. I received an email from my sister's attorney, and he's requesting some letters of recommendation addressed to the president, you know, and just appealing to him. You know, we don't have to go into no unjust sentence or whatever, just appealing to him to have compassion and to extend the pardon to my sister. So I will be inboxing many of you all that fellowship with this ministry and are friends with me on Facebook and Twitter. Amen. So we thank God for that. Something else I needed to say, and I don't – oh, I need you all to really pray again. Pray, keep continue to pray for Evangelist Earlene Cummins. We don't want to forget about Evangelist Cummins, and we want to do that before we dismiss off this line. And it was something else I needed to say, and I've gotten lost in that. But the Lord will bring it to my memory again. Amen. So God bless you all. We thank God for each and every one of you all. Thank God for Pastor Hamilton. Thank God for Pastor Miracle. And also Bishop Jesse Grant and Liberal Democrat, they all ministered for us this week. So we didn't even get a break in here like we thought we would. Amen. Thank God for Sister Ruby standing in the gap having the switchboard open on Wednesday while we marched in the parade. And I want you to know we got over 300 signatures. I don't know if that would help with the application for my sister, but I am going to inquire about it as I talk with the attorney. So be praying for Danielle. 21 years this month, 21 years. So I'm praying for God to release her. I'm praying for that. And I know
amen.
God knows.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God knows where she is. So, amen. If anybody can do it, God can. Amen. So
yes,
we got
can.
Sister Ruby to open up the switchboards. Amen. So we appreciate you all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord, everybody. It's quite a few on, and I'm going to get back to you. But we have one unknown that I know. So we're going there. Area code 216-5013. Area code 216-5013. Praise the Lord. Sister Ruby on the switchboard here.
Come on, talk to us, 216.
Okay, I'm a,
amen.
I'll come back to
amen.
Him.
Amen.
I'll come back to him. Let's go to Prof. Darlene Davis. She was there for the Pastor Miracle. Prophet Darlene Davis.
God bless. God bless everyone. I just thank God. Thank God once again for this broadcast. I thank God for Pastor Bernard. I thank God for each and every person, each and every family member. I just thank God for the word. It's so much that I could say, and I do take notes. And not only take notes, after I hang up, I meditate on some things. And
yeah.
I just want to thank you, Pastor Hamilton, and I reflect on some things and use those tools that, that I may be familiar with, but when you bring it another way, and that's what a real teacher do. They don't come the same way. They may come with the same word, but it's a different way. And you I don't want to use that word. You change things around. You shift and change things around. But you can feel the power of the Holy Ghost. Each time you speak with excitement, and it makes it where you want to come and hear your teaching. And it's not boring.
Oh, Jesus.
You know, y'all talked about when you go to the church, and, you know, sometimes people go extend, you know, past their time. It's all right,
right.
when the word is effective and it's power
effective,
and it's
yes,
no flesh
yes.
involved. So I thank God because every time I'm on this line, I say, Dad, why we got to hang up? Because we can go hours and hours because you can feel the Holy Ghost. So it's nothing wrong with that when the power of God and no flesh is on parade and the Spirit rises
that's right.
up.
Come
so
on.
I just thank God
ooh,
for this
Jesus.
Line because the Spirit is on this line. And I feel the power and the Holy
oh,
Ghost in you, and you when you teach. And you step on toes, but it's for the good. And I thank God because you get some wisdom, you get knowledge, you get so much from your teaching. So I just thank God for your teaching and your worship. You know, the things that you do is appreciated. So I just want to say I thank God for you, and I thank God for your ministry. Thank God for where you're going and where God has brought you from. And I thank God for you even sharing
ooh,
your personal stories. So I'm just blessed, and I'm excited. And when I get off this line, I'm going to look over my notes.
Amen.
And I thank God.
Amen.
And I only look over them. I get on the phone and tell people, you should have been on the day. Guess what happened? I share the good news. And, you know, and that's
yes,
what you
yes,
want to
yes,
go and share
yes,
the
yes.
good news because it
yes.
should catch on fire, and you should want to catch somebody else on fire. You should want to stir your brother because we're here for a purpose. Not our purpose, but for God's purpose. And as you were talking, I was thinking about it. I'm going to make it real quick. I was thinking about you said following instructions, being obedient. Sometimes we don't want to be obedient because we don't want to kill that flesh. But we got to kill
that's
that
right.
flesh because we
kill
attached
that flesh.
To our brother. We attached to our sister. We attached to somebody. You may not be a pastor. You may not be a leader. But believe me, your purpose is a purpose for God, and you are attached to somebody. So it's time for us to come up and come out. And God has been telling us last year, and we thank God for the first Friday of this year, and we thank
hey,
God that we have been provoked. We thank God that we have been stirred
oh,
up
Jesus.
By the Holy Ghost, and we need to take these principles and move out this year on them and move out
yes.
right now, as you say, right now, not next year. And like the one of God, Pastor Bernard says so much. He says so much wisdom, so much knowledge, so much stuff at one time, and we just thank God for it. As she was saying, you got to do something. Faith without works is dead.
That's right.
So it's time for us to come alive, family. God
come
bless.
Alive.
I'm starting with me, talking about me. Hallelujah, because all of these I didn't do last year, I should have done. We sit and waste time, meaning that sometimes because we don't want to walk in obedience, we don't want to follow full instruction, but we waste time. Even when the natural, sometimes I made something one day, and I'm going to say this real quick, and I said, oh, this is a simple thing. I know I don't need no instructions for that. You know, not that I'm the best cook in the world, but I said, I got this. And so I began to mix it up and begin to do it as I thought it was supposed to be done. And I'm talking in the spirit. Sometimes we do things that we think is supposed to be done, but that's not the way God wanted to do it. And so as I made it, I said, I don't think this tastes right. I think I should have followed the instructions. So it's time
follow
for the instructions.
Instructions.
God bless you.
Hallelujah.
And I thank
God bless you. Love you.
Amen. Amen. I wanted to say also, it came back to me what I wanted to say. This month we're going to really be doing like freestyling, and those that will be coming on the minister, whatever the Lord lay on their heart. But some of our listeners and our audience, we would like to hear from you. If there's anything that you would, any subject matter, any thing pertaining to holiness, pertaining to God's word that you don't have an understanding about and you would like to hear it discussed and preached and taught on this line, please let us know. We welcome your input. Amen. So this month we don't have any topics. Usually I have a topic, and that's how God gave me to do this broadcast, to structure it, whereas we'll have a topic and everybody can comment where they can be on the same page and we could all be speaking the same language. Of course, God gives us different analysis on his word and how to bring it alive, but nevertheless, we're still able to impart information to you.
Yes.
So this month, we won't have a destiny focus where we want every speaker to govern themselves by, but we want to hear what the Lord has put on your heart, what he's saying to you, to say to the people. Now, just don't, please, I pray that God deal with you where it's something that God wants to bless the listeners with. Nothing that we just doing on our own. Let's not get in our
word.
Let's be governed by the Spirit. And ask God what it is that he would like to convey to the people where they can be blessed and they can learn how to flow in that blessing this year. Amen.
Yes,
so back to you.
Amen.
Amen. We have quite a few on, so I'm going to go to Miracle. Pastor Miracle, your line is open.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I am just so just elated right now and blessed by the word of God that went forth. I'm telling you, this ministry has been blessing me. The P2P ministry and Pastor Edward Hamilton has been a blessing ever since, you know, God caused this word to cross my path, the principles that are being taught. Because as we go forth to, and as he said, that our number one relationship and priority is our relationship with God. Well, God is an orderly, systematic, principle-driven God, and he's put principles in the earth. And so that's why this ministry is such a blessing to me, because it sharpens me on the principles that God himself operate by. And so as we endeavor to be just like him in the earth and just like Jesus, it's important to master these things. And so I love it. I love it. I love it. You know, Psalms chapter 107, verse 2, Romans 5, Romans 13, Deuteronomy 28. I'm telling you, this ministry right here will keep you in the word. I'm going to go back and read all of it. I'm going to go back and study these notes. And I'm telling you, I'm being sharpened and strengthened.
All right.
And so, Pastor Edward Hamilton, just thank God for you. Thank God for the word of God that is so alive and full of power when you teach. And I'm just so blessed by it. I'm telling you. And so I just thank God for it. And so in just in case we have anybody on the line who's in the Brenham area, Brenham, Texas, we'll be in Brenham, Texas tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock a.m. for a women's conference, Women of God Leading by Example. And that's at 9 o'clock. The address is 201 Highway 290 East, Brenham, text is 77833, and there's going to be a move of God tomorrow morning in Brenham.
Amen.
I tell you,
hallelujah.
We are 4 days into 2014. I've preached three of them. I'm
beginning.
Excited. Hallelujah. I'm telling
amen,
you guys,
amen.
He's in something. And so we're going to have an awesome time in the Word of God tomorrow if you're anywhere in that area. But again, thank you, man of God. We thank God for New Destiny Ministries and this broadcast that is going forth, blessing so many lives. Thank you.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, woman of God.
Okay, I think is this her brother? I think we had two different numbers.
Yeah, 0020, that's Minister Kevin.
Yeah, his line is open. Minister Kevin?
Yes, this is Minister Kevin.
Yeah, it's crazy. Your line is open. You have a comment or whatever, you know. Have...
Yes, I do. I simply want to greet you all. And I also want to state that I am continually blessed by this ministry, by Pastor Hamilton, and by this line that we can call in on, and we can like-mindedly share the things of God and be taught and be fed. And Pastor Hamilton really taught a compelling lesson today on several points. But when we're going through, we need to focus on Jesus. Amen.
Yeah.
He was in the book of Hebrews, the prior chapter to the fifth chapter, the 14th verse. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are.
Yes.
Yet without sin. Yet
yes.
without sin.
Woo.
When you're going through and when you need to overcome, there is no
Ooh,
better example
hallelujah.
To follow than that of Jesus
Ooh,
Christ.
Jesus.
That's why we're commanded in the book
Ooh,
of Philippians
we can do it.
To let this mind also be in you, which is in Christ Jesus, which leads
amen,
us if we
amen.
Have the same
I'll preach
Christ.
For you. You preach it now.
If we're doing the things that Christ did and we have Christ's mind, well, then we are on perfect alignment with discipleship. We are learning
Amen.
The teachings and following the practices of a mentor, and that is Jesus Christ, our great high priest.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Who is not immune to our sufferings, but understand on every hand what we go through because he was the God-man. Okay?
Yes.
He was God. He was man. Jesus got tired, took a nap. God doesn't take a nap. Man does.
Amen.
Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. Jesus wept. That was man. Jesus called Lazarus from the grave. That was God. Amen. So at
amen,
every point,
amen.
Minister Kevin, we're going to get you on the line and let
amen.
You expound
amen.
On that word.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We thank the Lord so much. And we have quite a few more.
Did you catch
you.
Those, Sister Ruth? Was he done?
I thought he was.
No.
Was he done?
Yes, I'm done. I'm going to be timely. Yes, I'm done. Thank you. Thank you.
No, you weren't done. You weren't done, but I see you're going to be compiling to the situation. But you go. I want some of that word.
Obedience. Amen.
Obedience.
Woo. Amen. Thank you.
Man, I'm fired up all over again. Oh, my Bible.
Okay, God bless.
Ooh, Jesus.
Okay, we're going to Minister Liberal Democrat. Hold on 1 minute. Prophet Michael Davis is on, but we're just going to Sister Verona. Sister Verona.
Yes, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. People of God.
Amen.
I'm just sitting here just in awe of what God is doing and how he does things.
Mm.
I feel that I'm in the school that God has put me in.
Ooh, Jesus.
And I say that.
Hallelujah.
School, institute, school.
Ooh, I'm telling you. I'm not going to say too much on it now, but I believe at the end of the matter,
I'll have
a testimony about it.
Come on.
And I know God is doing it. And I'll say this,
Hallelujah.
I believe I'll be able to say, there is no other institute like God, and I know you all agree.
Jesus.
Come on now. Ooh, hallelujah.
Mm.
Now, in that, I'm just going to rest and ponder some things because I got to do what God said. I'm going to be obedient, but I thank God for what he's doing. I thank him for this ministry.
Hallelujah.
I thank him for the word. This was my first time on Provoke Fridays, but I tell you what, it won't be the last time.
Come on now.
Wow. Amen.
Mm, wow.
Corona will be ministering for us one day next week, so we'll you all get a chance to hear her next week. Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. God is raising
it's
up.
It's the beginning.
Yes, new beginning.
New beginning.
It's a new beginning.
New
and
beginning.
I'm going to be obedient. And I'm going, mm-hmm. I'm walking in divine time in my life. I'm trying and asking God to help me with all of my heart. So pray for me. God bless you all. I love you.
Constantly. Amen. We love you too, sister.
God bless.
Amen.
You know what, Minister Liberal Democrat and Prophet Davis, hold on just 1 minute. We're going to Sister T. Sister T?
You don't have to keep saying that, Sister T.
God bless. I just really honor God today. That was a word straight from heaven. I'm sitting at the train station in Stockton, and everybody is listening in awe. So thank you, man of God, for bringing
Hallelujah.
The word like you did. I felt like I ate steak and lobster. Amen. Pray my
thank you so much. God bless you.
God bless.
Hey, doesn't that remind you guys when I was at the plane station?
God bless you, Sister T.
Yes,
ooh, hallelujah.
Train station.
Okay, we're going to Liberal Democrat. Then we're coming to you, Prophet Davis. Liberal Democrat. Minister Liberal Democrat.
Amen, amen, amen. What a word, what a word, what a word, man of God. Hallelujah.
Amen. Man of God, how are you?
Important message. I'm blessed and highly favored hearing that message. That message needs to be heard all over the world. He said, the man of God said that people are trying to fix themselves before they go to church. They're saying that, amen. He said, don't worry about your sin, but worry about Jesus. I just want everybody to catch that, amen of God, but that's so important.
Yeah.
If you listen to this message, don't worry about what you're going through in your life, amen, because you can't fix it. Amen. But get around, amen, the people of God, amen, God's praying people. And I think that was so important, man of God, and I just wanted to make sure everybody caught that. I received that, and that's going to save somebody's life. Just listen to this broadcast.
Somebody's
can't
life.
Do it yourself. Amen, amen.
Can't do it yourself.
Go to Jesus. Amen. That was a word, man. God bless you. Hallelujah.
Amen. God bless you, man. I love you, my brother.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Okay, we're going to Prophet Michael Davis. Your line is open, Prophet.
Give God the glory.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus in the house. I feel Jesus in the house. And one thing I glorify Jesus for, that no flesh will glory in
no
his
flesh.
Presence.
No flesh.
As a matter of fact, no flesh will enter into the kingdom of God. Glory
no flesh.
To God. He only, look here, he said, this, what is born of the flesh is flesh. And that which is born of the spirit is spirit.
When you're born
of the spirit, the Bible teaches us that the Holy Ghost teaches the spirit the ways of Christ. But if it's the flesh, the flesh cannot be taught the ways of Christ, because the Bible tells us in the book of Corinthians that it's foolishness to them.
Come on.
They can't comprehend spiritual things. Mm-hmm. It's foolishness to them. They're not going to receive it. They're not going to comprehend it. They're going to keep stumbling. They're going to keep bumbling. And they're going to keep falling, because that which is born of the flesh is flesh.
Flesh is the flesh.
My God. That's why he said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again.
Ooh, hallelujah.
And when you're born of the Spirit, you're going to obey the Holy Spirit.
That's
all it is to it. This is not a complicated issue. This is not a difficult thing. It's simple that a child cannot err. If you're born of the Spirit, you're going to follow the Spirit, because God is not ignorant.
Come on now.
He know who belong to him.
Come on. Yes.
Lord. He knows who he is. So therefore, if you're born of the Spirit,
Jesus,
it's going to be very simple. You're going to follow the Holy Spirit. That's all
the
it is
Holy
to
Spirit.
It. If you're not, that's if you're born of the Spirit now.
Glory.
Now, if you're not born of the Spirit, that means you're going to follow the flesh. Oh, now we done made us. We done,
come on.
We done said something here. Because there's,
yeah, yeah.
There's a division. There's a division. There's a division. The flesh is on one side. They call the goats. Hello, somebody.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
then
yeah,
you got
yeah.
The
come
spiritual
on now.
Children on the other side. They call the
on
sheep.
The other side.
Watch
the
yourself
sheep.
Up in here.
La la la. You don't have to come back.
Better choose the right side.
You'll deal with your teacher.
Better get on the right side. Hey, woo, Jesus.
Y'all see, you guys get me stirred up. I'm telling you. The only thing I can say to encourage the people, make sure that you know the voice of the Lord,
yes.
And that you follow Him.
Him.
And I really believe, Pastor Hamilton, I really believe, Pastor Hamilton, that you're the type of man of God to lead the people, God's people, to Him.
Oh, Jesus.
I really believe that. I am convinced by listening
Jesus.
To what God had given you to say, that you are the type
ooh.
Of man of God. Ha, koshatai.
Ooh, that
lead, I feel the anointing. That lead God's people. To Him.
Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus.
Ooh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
The glory of the Lord.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
Glory of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
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 Jesus, 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 Jesus,
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you,
Jesus. We love you, Lord
Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
Glory. Jesus. Oh God.
Bless your name, Lord Jesus.
Oh, we worship you, Lord.
Worship
God, you're awesome. You're awesome, Lord. You're awesome.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
You're awesome.
Hallelujah.
Jesus.
We bless
awesome.
The Lord. We bless him. We bless
that's
him.
For you.
Amen.
That's for you, man
Amen.
Of God. That's for you.
I receive it, man of God.
That's
it's
for you,
done. We're on the same page.
Yes,
I hear your voice unto perception right now.
Glory to God.
And I receive this glorious word of God right now into my life, and I receive it with honor.
That's you, brother. That's you. That's you, man.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Yeah. When you
I'll
stand
be out there
before
to see you.
And I just want to say this, and Evangelist Bernard, forgive me, but give me 30 seconds, and I'll conclude this. Because, brother, I want to be standing there in the inner court of the throne room of God when you stand before Jesus, our Savior, and he says unto you, thank you for leading the
Jesus.
People to me.
Hallelujah.
That he says to you, thank you for leading
Jesus.
The people to me.
Ooh,
glory to God.
Glory.
Glory to God.
Ooh,
then he
Jesus.
Will say those great words, well done.
Well
thou
done.
Good and faithful
well,
servant. Enter ye
hallelujah.
Into my rest.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Ooh, if y'all don't know, this is dynamic.
That's God.
Ooh, hallelujah.
That's God.
That's God.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Glory to God.
Bless you, man of God.
God bless you, brother.
God bless you.
Man, I love you.
God bless you. Love you, brother. We'll talk soon.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Amen. Well, we thank God for the broadcast today. We thank God for another opportunity to see another day. This is a day we've never seen before. This is the third day of January in the year 2014, and we thank God for allowing each and every one of us to be here to fellowship in for this, again, first Friday in the new year, Provoke Friday.
Oh, hallelujah.
We also like to invite you to tune in tomorrow, those that are in the Carolinas and those that live on the East Coast, for They Overcame with Minister Billy Burns. She's on, and this is a time for you to give your testimony. So if you have a testimony that you would like to give, in this fourth day in the new year, starting tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. The call-in number is the same.
Oh, hallelujah.
Area code 858-683-1334. And she's born at 8 a.m. That's 5 a.m. California time and 7 a.m. on the Central Standard Coast time. Amen. So we certainly invite you to tune in. And remember, early Sunday morning prayers, if you have 30 minutes that you can share a corporate prayer with us, we're on the line at 7 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for 30 minutes of corporate prayer. Amen. So I know one thing. The Lord has a record where he's saying, 30 minutes, I've seen them pray on
Hallelujah, Jesus.
And every Sunday morning. Amen. So we invite you to tune back in. Also, our prophetess, Darlene Davis, if you have your information for your prayer line tomorrow, Saturday at 5 o'clock p.m., 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern time and 7 o'clock p.m., our prophetess Darlene have an overflow, a prayer, a conference line on Saturday evening. So that's tomorrow. Amen. The day
okay.
is Friday. So that's tomorrow. Please tune in and support this woman of God and what she's doing.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
We certainly would love to hear you all on the line. And prophetess Darlene, if you would be so kind to give them that information, you can do so.
Amen.
Prophetess Darlene, Sister Ruby.
So, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Am I unmuted now? You can go on Facebook, Prophetess Darlene Davis, or either you can call in. The number is 712-432-1500. And the code number is 211-498. Once again, 712-432-1500. And the code number is 211-498. Or you can visit and go on Facebook at Prophetess Darlene Davis. God bless you all.
God bless.
Amen. And this woman of God is a prayer warrior. Amen. If you need some prayer for whatever, guess what? She will pray for you until you get your breakthrough. Amen. So we're going to ask, thank you, Sister Ruby. Amen. For being in the studio. We're going to ask Pastor Hamilton to dismiss us with the word of prayer. We pray everyone would have a blessed weekend. This is the first weekend in the year. So enjoy yourself, enjoy your family, be safe, and tell somebody that Jesus loved them.
Amen. Family, I just say I love you, I appreciate you, and I am so excited what God is doing. Not what he's going to do and not what he has done, but what he's doing. He is in motion right now, putting together strategically a team of warriors that have no compromise other than Jesus. And I am proud, I am honored to be connected with like-minded people that have one care, one thought, one worry, and that's only satisfying Jesus. That is the key. And as we go forward, I join in that union with you that if it's about Jesus, we will be involved. If it's not, we will shake it off and we will move forward. We will start to see the things that God has said is coming in this new beginning. We are not staying no more in that old 2013. We are in a new now, and it's a new beginning, and we must walk these days as it is new. And make everything we do new again. Take it out of the old because it's busted. It's coming loose at the seams. And put it in something new, the anointing, the Holy Spirit. And watch God. Watch God do a miraculous thing. Don't forget your plans to new destiny. Get that thing in here right now. Don't forget to support the other ministry team on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, prayer, whatever it is. We need to support each other. Let's stick together because unity is power, not money, not fame or anything else. Unity, oneness is power. So I'm believing that God is about to do for all of us the things that he has desired for us to do. So we bless you today, Lord Jesus. We praise you, we magnify you, and we glorify you in Jesus' name.
Lord,
love you guys. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Woo. Amen.
Woo. Jesus.
Okay.
I'm going to church, y'all. Love you.
Love you too, Pastor Hamilton. It was a blessing.
All right.
Okay,
we'll talk to you later.
The ad. Okay, we're going, I'm going to close it out with Rain on Us by Ernest Hill.
Let your glory fill this place. Let your all-consuming fire fill this tabernacle and purify our hearts. Surround us in this place. Want you to breathe new life within us in a refreshing love. Purify our hearts. Let your glory fill.
Let your glory fill this.
Let your all-consuming fire. Let's ask for the rain tonight. Let's ask for the rain.
your glory. We see your glory, Lord. You're high and you're lifted up. And your train fills the timber. We worship you, we worship you, we worship you, we worship you. Oh, we worship you. Oh, we bow down in your presence as the angels do. And we cry, holy, 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 holy,
Hallelujah. Did you have anything to say, Evangelist?